turn we have in that race. In 1967, we also saw the Detroit riots. Media, newspapers, television, all media tried to tell us that the 1967 Detroit riots was a race riot.
Captain of the White Panther Party, indicting them for conspiracy to
to bomb the CIA office in Ann Arbor. This had happened in 1968. The CIA office in Ann Arbor had been bombed. Nobody even knew that the CIA office was there until it had been bombed. Right? But the indictment came down of these three people. John was already in prison at the time, serving 9.5 to 10 years. They knew that by bringing this indictment down on him, that they could prevent him from getting bombed, from being able to be bailed out. But this is one more charge that would lessen his chances very much. Jack Forrest, the Detroit captain, was in the hospital with a broken leg. He could not escape. He was captured by 15 FBI agents who came to his bedside with guns. A man with a broken leg. He took him down to the police station at that time. Hunter Martin happened to be listening to the radio and heard over the radio that the indictment had come down. That just shows you how stupid they are. And he escaped. He is still free now, at least somewhere in Babylon, which is a term used for the United States. Now we're in 1970, and as I said before, that movie you just saw was a very small taste of the fascism that's coming down in America now. We at the White Panther Party spend a lot of our time trying to educate people, trying to organize people. When we first formed the party, I think we were hippies. We were still hippies. We were people who loved everybody, and we wanted people to love us, and all we wanted to do was to bring people together, to have a good time, and to educate people. The Black Panther Party came to us and told us, if you're going to call yourselves revolutionaries, then you must relate to the whole planetary third world struggle that's going on this planet right now. They told us that in order to do this, you must know the language of revolution. So we started studying Marxism-Leninism, Mao Zedong. We saw these beautiful brothers, and we started debating what they were saying to our struggle in America. And we found that everything they were saying is true. We know now that there's a very definite need in America for a revolutionary organized party, which is what we're trying to do now. We found that some of the things that we wanted to do, the main thing we wanted to do, was to organize and educate. So around the country now, we have between 40 and 50 chapters in all the different states all around the nation. People spend their time, they're full-time revolutionaries. They're no longer students, they no longer have jobs, they're full-time revolutionaries because they see the need for this. The criterion for being a chapter is that they have access to printing material so that they can reprint material that the national office and headquarters sends to them so that they can pass out educational material to their people. They try to set up free food programs for their people, free places for people to stay. They have political education classes, but they're not dry dog political education classes, because we know that the main thing we want to do is have fun. That's all we want, is have fun and smoke dope and listen to music. So at our political education classes, we have rock and roll bands, just like here tonight. I'm here to talk to you on the political level. But I know that at the same time, we all want to have a lot of fun. So we have a rock and roll band here tonight. We also have movies that we show to people. We have a reading list that we distribute. Probably about 20, between 20 and 30 books. That include Marxism-Leninism and Mao Zedong. Also includes poetry books, cultural artifacts, because we know that art relates to politics. If there's no separation between your lifestyle and your politics, and that if you're going to study theory, you must put theory into practice. You must put theory into practice. That's one of the main criticisms that I have of Denmark, but one of the main criticisms that I've heard many, many people say after coming to Denmark is that the people here have a very high level of theory and knowledge in their heads, but they do not put it into practice. I want to say to you most of all tonight, very sincerely and from my heart, that I know that if fascism is allowed to go on in America, that America, we call it the great white octopus, because it's going to reach out to this whole planet and try to put fascism on everybody. And I want to say to you, save Denmark. Right? And I see you all sitting here listening to me, but I want to say it over and over again. You've got to put theory into practice. You can't sit here and nod your head and watch movies and listen to what we have to say. It doesn't mean anything unless you do something, unless you educate yourself to find out how America is coming over here and ruining your country. Well, I haven't been in Europe in a long time. I used to live here when I was 12 years old. My father was a colonel in the Air Force. We used to travel a lot. I lived in France for a while and Scotland. When I got off the plane about a week ago in Stockholm, I wanted to cry. Because I saw America. I saw fascist pig America everywhere I went. And I saw people just walking down the street as if nothing was wrong. I don't understand it. How you beautiful people can allow that to happen? Because it's ugly. America is one of the most ugly countries on the planet. And it really hurts me to see how other people in other countries are letting that happen to them. That's the main thing I wanted to say to you tonight. Last thing I want to say is all about the fossil.
This sound's coming up again. Put you down. hard to believe when the message is to see touching little
someone from America has to come over here and speak English and you can understand it, because that shows just how much America's influenced you all. That's right. Danish people should be proud people, should be very proud people, should have some nationalism, should be moving toward some understanding of where you come from and where you're going. And there's a lot of nationalism going on between Danish people and the Swedish people. That's bullshit, because they're right next door to you. But when people come from all the way across the pond over here and influence your life, influence your lifestyles, influence your language, that's some sort of cultural genocide that's being perpetrated against you all. And we have to say that, because it's true. But let's start with some basics. We need some unity, so let's start with a common language. Now, I'm going to start off by saying, power to the people, and you should answer by saying right on. Let's see if we can do that, so we'll just get some basics down. Power to the people!
Right on!
Oh, that wasn't that didn't make it. Let's try it again. Power to the people!
Right on, bro!
Well, that's better. We'll try it again when we get done. Maybe we'll be in tune with them. Most important thing we gotta talk about right now, Bobby Seale. They're trying to fry Bobby Seale in the electric chair in Connecticut. We're really sorry that the sister from the Black Panther Party couldn't be here tonight. We were with her last night at the Carlton Theater, Carlton Cinema in Copenhagen. And she really ran down some very beautiful things about class war, race war. And that was the title, I guess, of this meeting. And I'd like to kind of address myself to that, for starters. You saw when the eight people were indicted in Chicago. One of the eight was Chairman Bobby Seale of the Black Panther Party. After a very short time, he was declared mistrial. And they sentenced him to 4 years for contempt of court. And all he did to get sentenced to 4 years for contempt of court is demand that he had the right to defend himself. Now, this is a very basic law in our land. I don't know if I gotta sit down, man, because I'm shaking like a bitch. It's a very basic law in our land, the American Constitution. There was an American Revolution. And these cats sat down, said that there's some basic human rights that everyone's entitled to. And they went on and ran it down about life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and all that shit, which is just rhetoric. the big speech from these films and with Bobby Steele and down. But in that Constitution it says that every man is entitled to a trial by a jury of his peers. And you look at the jury in Chicago, there was no peers there. There was no people who smoked no dope. There was no people who listened to no music. There was no people who drink no wine. There was no people who hang out on the street. There were just old bourgeois sissies. I don't know if you relate to that term, sissies. I guess over here you call them homosexuals. But we ain't got no thing against homosexual per se, you understand? But there's just a bunch of faggots there that we're supposed to represent our lifestyle and represent our culture. So Chairman Bobby says, that's the first thing. I want to have a jury of my peers. I want some poor black people, some poor white people, some poor red people, some poor brown people, and some poor yellow people on that. Jury, and there wasn't nary one. There wasn't nary a person on that jury who came from Bobby Steele's peer group. There wasn't a person on that jury who came from Jerry Rubin's peer group, or Abby Hoffman, or Dave Dillinger's, or any other brothers. So that was the first contradiction in the American Constitution. The other one was, it says that each man has a right to defend himself or to have an attorney who he decides to defend him. As many of you probably know, the official attorney for the Black Panther Party is Attorney Charles Gary, the baddest attorney in the United States. Mr. Gary had an operation that couldn't make it, and they entered motions into the trial asking the judge to postpone the trial for a reasonable length of time, so the attorney could come, get out of the hospital, come and defend Chairman Bobby. Well, the judge, of course, denied that motion. There were only two motions that the judge upheld in that trial. And the only two motions those were is that when the defense attorneys asked to have the court recessed a little early, and the judge says, okay, we'll go on with that, and they honored those motions. But the rest of the motions, over 68 motions, I believe it was, I was reading the transcript the other day, there was over 68 motions the judge denied. Just denied, 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 denied. And there were some righteous motions presented in a righteous revolutionary fashion, and the judge denied them. So anyway, since Mr. Gary couldn't come to defend the chairman says, well, I want to defend myself, because to be real honest with you, I don't trust these attorneys here. They might be right on and all that, but they don't understand the ideology of the Black Panther Party. They don't understand black people. We know Mr. Gary has done a righteous job defending the Minister of Defense, Huey P. Newton, and we trust this man, and we want to work with him, and he's the only white man, white attorney in the country that we have worked with, and that we will work with. So Chairman Bobby kept saying, I want to defend myself, and lying fascist pigs would get on the stand and testify and swear on the Bible and all that shit. And Chairman Bobby says, well, I want to ask you some questions. And he'd get up to ask him some questions, and he's big nigger pigs. There's a lot of different kind of pigs. There's white pigs and black pigs, and we call black pigs nigger pigs. And big nigger pigs, and go out and grab Chairman Bobby and push him down his chair and tell him to shut his mouth. And that little punk, Judge Hoffman, Magoo, we call him, he's got a big bald head, can't see. He's old, he must be about 80 years old. He sits way up on him. Well, I'm sitting down here, you can imagine the top level up there, that's about how high his desk is, and he's got to have a box underneath his desk to put his feet on because his feet don't touch the floor. Yeah, he's just sick. He's just a sick old, decrepit, senile old man. And Chairman Bobby kept him in. He says, I have a constitutional right to defend myself. I have a constitutional right. It says so in the Constitution. Black people have been dying for 400 years. Black people have been fighting their wars for 400 years. 16% of the people in Vietnam are black people, but black people only represent 10% of the population of the United States. That's a little strange there. That's genocide. And white people are starting to recognize that. Well, there's a basic problem that happened that brought up the statement by Elder Cleaver about class war or race war. And the white man probably recognized that problem. I'm going to try to explain it to you a little bit. Chairman Bobby was declared mistrial And he was sentenced 4 years. And the only man in that courtroom, out of the 7 other white men in that courtroom, the only man who did anything when Sharon Bobby was bound and gagged was the pacifist, David Dellinger. Those big pigs, those nigger pigs, and those honky pigs, we call white people who are racist and fascist, we call them honkies. Those nigger pigs and those honky pigs went up to Chairman Bobby and grabbed him and slammed him in a chair. And this old man, David Dellinger, pacifist, got up and put his hands down to his side real tight and stood between them and wouldn't let him do it. And you notice that David Dellinger got the most contempt sentence too. He's a bad dude, he's a righteous revolutionary, and we can relate to that. The struggle that's going on in America is kind of hard to relate to pacifism right now. But when any brother can act in a continuous revolutionary manner as David Dellinger had, we have to relate to that. But the rest of those brothers, Jerry Rubin, Abby Hoffman, Froines, Weiner, the rest of those cats, Jerry Rubin's bad, supposed to be bad. Abby Hoffman's supposed to be bad. They didn't do a goddamn thing. They were intimidated. They were intimidated by fascism in that courtroom. And we say if there had been any white Panthers there, we'd have had some fights. We'd have had some trouble. Either that or we'd have died trying. The Young Patriots, which is another white organization, issued the same statement. And we'll stand by that statement. So there's a basic thing about racism in the white left, you know, because that's what that was. That was a form of racism. And even the people who are supposed to be the vanguard of the mother country radicals. There's a basic analysis in the United States, like the chairman was saying on the film, that black people compromise a nation within a nation. They are a black colony. And the people who aren't black and who don't live in a black colony compromise the mother country. So mother country radicals always be talking about we're going to stamp out racism. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. But when it comes to concrete work and concrete action to show solidarity with the peoples of color, they didn't make it. They didn't make it. They sat back and didn't do a goddamn thing. Another example of that is Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were murdered by the Chicago Pig. Mark Clark, or Fred Hampton, is the deputy chairman of the Black Panther Party, and he was drugged. He was drugged. Some fascist fool pig went to Fred Hampton and shot him full of dope and made him go to sleep. And when he was asleep, the pigs came in and put a shotgun to his head and blew his head off, if you can relate to that. And what did white America do? They didn't do a goddamn thing. They didn't do a goddamn thing. That's right. So everything that Elvis Cleaver says and everything the Black Panther Party says about race war or class war, as far as we're concerned, is right on. And by what I'm talking about here, I should be saying back home, but I ain't back home, so I'm gonna say it here. Because we really have to sit down and analyze and look at ourselves and look where we're coming from and look where we're going. I really don't like sitting like that, looking up all the time. I wish everyone was sitting down here like this. But you see, when Fred Hampton was murdered, nothing happened. Mark Clark was murdered, nothing happened. But as soon as those white cats got convicted and got sent to prison, what happened? All of America started to burn. All of America started to burn. Bank of America, pigs started getting shot. A whole lot of shit started happening. But when it really started going down for the black brothers who we're supposed to be so tight with, did nothing happen. So we say right on to Elvis' statement, and we got to really come down with some criticism on ourselves and criticism on the white movement and find out if we really do want revolution. We got to redefine some terms, redefine a whole lot of terms and see where we're going and all of that. So the important thing, like I started to say, is that they're going to try to fry Bobby Seale in the electric chair in Connecticut. His trial starts in September. And white America, the white left, and really not just in America, because people in America be talking about revolution. Black Panther Party talks about revolution. White Panther Party talks about revolution. We talk about world revolution. I don't know if you get the book over here now, but Marsha McLuhan wrote a book called The Medium is a Massage. It explains a global village. The world's getting smaller and smaller all the time. And what happens in America directly affects what happens here. So the white people over here in Denmark, in Sweden, and every place else we go, and even if we don't go there, they're directly involved in what happens to Chairman Bobby G. Seale. They're directly involved in what happens to Huey P. Newton. They're directly involved with what happens to Elvis Cleaver. Because the Panthers are moving. The Panthers are moving in such a revolutionary fashion that the white left can't even keep up with them. The White Panther Party can't even keep up with them. I mean, they're way out there. And they're moving, they're mobilizing, they're educating their people, they're arming their people, and they're bad. And so the people really got to sit down and decide if what we want is revolution, you know? There seems to be a lot of apathy here, a whole lot of apathy. We can go on to, that ain't no sort of understatement, nothing like that, because I don't know how to play no word games or nothing. But we've been going to a lot of meetings here, because we've been here meeting with different groups and different people. And you go into these houses, and there's books, man. Books as high as that goddamn wall, and all the way up there, and then back to back, and down here, and they got them underneath their bed, they got them stashed all over the place. You think, I don't know, man. They got books, they've been studying them books and reading them books, but I don't know, ain't pissed a drop. Yeah, the people all over are looking all over. The people in America are looking all over. The people in Africa are looking all over. The people in South America are looking all over. The Vietnamese people are looking all over. And they're looking around and finding out who's engaged in righteous revolutionary struggle and who is not engaged in righteous revolutionary struggle. And in any capitalist society, in any capitalist system, there are inherent contradictions. And all you people who've been reading all them books, you know all that shit. You know there's contradictions here in Denmark. You know there are. Denmark's an imperialist country. You know it is. You know damn well it is. So what are you doing to heighten those contradictions? Now you want to support Bobby G. Seale and keep him out of the electric chair. You don't have to send no money to the Black Panther Party. You don't have to send no money to the White Panther Party. We'll take it if you want to give it up, of course. You'd be fools not to. But that ain't the way you really support righteous revolutionary struggle. The way you support righteous revolutionary struggle is to heighten the contradictions in your community, educate the people to move against those contradictions in a revolutionary fashion. You sit down and you see what needs to be done, and then you move with people who know how to do it. I want to talk something about the music and about the culture and a lot of things like that. Because, like we said, we've been meeting with a lot of, quote, political people. But their lifestyle ain't no different than Nixon's lifestyle, for Christ's sakes. People come and listen to rock and roll music and they look like they're watching TV. Sitting on their ass, watching. That's right, we were at the Carlton Cinema last night, and the Flaming Red Ivanhoe played. And they're a great band. A great band. Shit, man. I felt intimidated, man, because me and the sister were shaking our heads, man. Yes, me and the shit. We use music to raise the energy of the people. We've seen rock and roll concerts with people being in a hall with rock and roll music going on, and they just take it right out into the street, man, and deal with the pig. So we have to analyze the whole culture, the whole lifestyle that we're living, you know? Our chairman, John Sinclair, chairman of the White Panther Party, says that we not only have to deal with the pigs in the street, we have to deal with the pig that's inside of us. Because we damn sure got some pig inside of us. The brothers, the white brothers in Chicago, the Chicago conspiracy showed that. There's a whole lot of pig in those cats. And the way we get rid of the pig is through struggle. And through struggle, we get unity, and through unity, we get strength. We struggle with each other. We have ideological struggle. We struggle with our lifestyle. By struggle, you polish and refine and make perfect your ideology. But I'd be going to apartments and shit, and they look like my parents' apartments, like my parents' house. Little knickknacks and candles and all that trash, man, all that worthless bourgeois bullshit. That's right. That's what it is. You notice in China that after they seized state power, they had to get involved in Cultural Revolution. Because you have to change the way people look at the world, have to change the way people look at each other. And like the sister correctly said, there's no separation between politics and lifestyle. Che Guevara says there's no life outside of revolution. It's just a contradiction. You'd be talking about Marxism, Leninism, socialism, communism, shit, and then you live in a little room over here. And you're, that ain't communism. Communism means you share things in common. We have a question to ask you, brother, when we're done, or we can start running right now. I don't care. It sure would be nice to see some energy or some contradiction or some something, man. Throw something. Do something, man. I don't understand. Because, see, in America, we're really desperate. We're really desperate. And it costs a lot of money for me and the sisters to come over here. And we didn't come over here to tell you the shit you wanted to hear, because I've been hearing the shit you wanted to hear for too long. We've seen our brothers be shot, man. I knew, I ain't gonna say that, but we've seen our brother be shot in the street and killed. James Rector, the first white revolutionary brother, was killed behind People's Park. Huey P. Newton was shot in the stomach. He is now doing 2 to 15 years in prison in California. Little Bobby Hutton, the 17-year-old brother, Black Panther brother, was murdered by the pigs when they were trying to assassinate Eldridge Cleaver. Eldridge was wounded in the leg. But if we live in contradictions, if our lifestyle doesn't change, if our world outlook don't change, then we're going to have to deal with Cultural Revolution after we see state power, and that ain't necessary. Because we can start living the revolution with our every breath. Now, at the White Panther Party, at our central headquarters in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we have a huge house. The whole central committee lives there communally. 25 people live all together, share things in common, work in common. You'll be sitting upstairs reading something, man, you get an idea, and all you got to do is go next door, and you got the minister of information right there. And then you say, look, brother, you run by a bunch of shit, you go downstairs, run the mimeograph machine. By 8 o'clock in the morning, you're out in the community. And this is the main contradiction, the main criticism that we have of most of the white left in America, SDS, many, many other groups. They be running on all the theory, but they can't put the theory into practice every day. Black people put theory into practice. Black people have been living in communes for 400 years. They had to survive. They know what communism is. The Black Panther Party just gave a free breath for school children program. And these beautiful old black ladies be bringing their children down there. And I witnessed this one day in Detroit. And there was an interviewer. Collective. Now there's another example of a newsreel all living collectives all around the United States. People all live together, work together, share all things together. But anyway, the free breakfast school, free breakfast program starts at 6 o'clock in the morning before the children go to school. And newsreel went down there to film the whole program. And there was an interviewer, of course. And there was this beautiful old black lady bringing her children down there to eat. And the guy says, what do you think about communism? And the woman says, oh, communism, that's bad, that's bad. He said, what do you think about socialism? She says, oh, I don't know, that's bad stuff. I read in the newspapers, it says that's bad stuff. He said, what do you think about the Black Panther breakfast for school children? Well, that's right on. She says, that's right on. She said, what do you think about Huey P. Newton? He says, She says, he's right on. He's the one who instigated the Breakfast School Children program from prison. Huey made an analysis while he was sitting in solitary confinement of the situation in America. He said, black people got to eat. Young children can't go to school hungry because they can't learn. So we'll feed them. And Nixon gets on television and he says, show me you're hungry. I'll feed the hungry. Just point them out to me. The Black Panthers say, you fucking pig, we feed 10,000 of them every morning. And we'd feed 100,000 of them if we had more material. So I don't know how to impress upon you the terror in the desperate hour, man, that people are in America, but everywhere, you know, because it's far out, and it's real, and it's coming down all around, as Johnny Cash said. Yeah. So we have to find a way to get Bobby Seale out of the electric chair, because the damn shoe will fry him if the people don't rise up. You know, they wanted to gas Huey. There used to be demonstrations by pigs in Oakland, California. These pigs be carrying around signs saying, gas Huey, gas Huey. They had buttons, all that. But the people rose up, and they put Huey P. Newton's theory into practice. Huey P. Newton says, the spirit of the people is stronger than the pig's technology. The pigs got gas chambers, but the spirit of the people kept Huey P. Newton out of the gas chamber, you see? The people rose up and would not let him kill Huey P. Newton. And we believe that if the people rise up, they will not be able to kill Chairman Bobby Seale. And like the Black Panthers say, they're desperate now. They know they're either going to have to go it alone or they're going to have to find some solidarity. If they go it alone, that means it's going to be a race war. If they find some solidarity, then we'll be able to have a righteous class war. And the White Panther Party has been getting some righteous criticism from the Black Panther Party. We've been getting righteous criticism from other white revolutionary organizations, for instance, the Weathermen. Sister and I just read in the paper today where 12 Weathermen were indicted by a federal grand jury in Chicago for conspiracy to cross state lines to incite to riot. Sounds like a broken record, don't it? And you know, it's the same goddamn judge that's going to try those cats that tried the conspiracy 8. It's the same judge, Julius J. Hoffman, the judge. That's right. But the Weathermen, see, are a non-compromising organization, a truly righteous revolutionary organization. Now, there's been a lot of bombings in the United States, and I want to talk about those a little bit. Because the information has not been getting out. In the last month in New York City, there have been over 400 bombings, stomped down, stone political bombings, where statements have been issued, where political analysis has been made, and this has been given to the press, this has been put in underground newspapers, this has been put in FM radio, underground radio stations. In California, in San Francisco, the Park Street station, the police station was blown up, and 3 pigs were injured, and 1 pig was killed. In Berkeley, California, 16 police cars were blown up. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, the CIA office was blown up. The Institute of Science and Technology was exploded. The Institute of Science and Technology is on the University of Michigan campus and is engaged in war research. They were directly responsible for developing the infrared tracking devices which track Che Guevara through the Bolivian jungles. The way this works is they get airplanes flying up real high and they got this special kind of camera that takes a picture of a wide area of land. And through heat and other sorts of trips, I don't understand all the technical shit behind it, but they take a picture and they can see where fires had been, or where human beings had been for any number of time, that they somehow measure the heat of the land. They're also using this now in Mexico, searching out marijuana fields, because they made some sort of test or something, they can tell at what heat marijuana grows or something, so they'd be napalming big marijuana fields which affects a lot of the struggle in the United States. We found out in Ann Arbor, we had last summer, we had 4 days of street fighting with pigs, and they cut off the marijuana supply. So what happened was the people started drinking, and people got crazy like a bunch of Indians, man, and tore them pigs up, put 17 pigs in the hospital, and it was all right. I'm just going on. I don't know. Wouldn't have a question answered. I relate to that more than trying to tell you something, because I don't know what you want to hear. I don't know what you don't want to hear. I don't even know what you need to hear. I want to talk about our chairman, Chairman John Sinclair, the White Panther Party. He's doing 10 years in maximum security prison. Our Minister of Defense, Tom Clemonin, who was indicted for conspiracy to bomb the CIA office. He was also indicted for placing the actual bomb that they supposedly blew it up, or that did blow it up. Our Detroit captain was named on the same warrant, the same indictment. Excuse me. Our Minister of Culture, Gary Grimshaw, who the People's Art Revolutionary Layout for underground newspapers, has been forced underground. Coordinations of struggles in advanced industrialized nations, which is relevant here to Denmark. Underdeveloped nations, which is relevant here to Denmark. And socialist nations, which isn't relevant here to Denmark. We support all third world liberation struggles against imperialism, especially U.S. imperialism. Third, we want to smash racism and support the struggle of the Black Panther Party and struggles of revolutionary organization among all national minorities, including the new emerging youth white nation in the U.S. Fourth, the organization of U.S. soldiers everywhere and other puppets to rebel against imperialism. The fifth, the recognition of the importance of the liberation of all women and youth. Sixth, all socialist nations should use their power for the world revolution. Imperialism involves the whole planet. And I just want to end by reading a poem that was written by our chairman, John Sinclair, for Bobby Seale. I hope I don't read this too fast, but sometimes I get fired up. It's called Justice, a Rant for Bobby Seale. It's written the day that Bobby Seale was bound and gagged, November 5th, 1969. Some days, all I can feel is machine guns and tanks, machine guns and bullets, machine guns and knives and dynamite, ripping the fat bellies and fat heads of capitalists, destroying their institutions, their sacred property, their pitiful, nasty little lives, and all this just to set people free. Spiro Agnew shitting his pants in fear as a bombardment starts. Punk-ass Nixon pissing and moaning in terror. Henry II Ford cringing in a corner of the country club with Rockefeller and the rest of those creeps. Golf clubs jammed up their ass, pissing martinis and dividends. Blam, the Pentagon goes up in smoke. That's for fun, you motherfuckers. Blam, the federal building in Chicago, the mayor's office, Daley's pig pens, police headquarters. That's for Bobby Seale. That's for Abby and Jerry and Tom Hayden and Rennie Davis and John Throins and Lee Winers. And I don't think Dave Dellinger would mind either. That's for all the brothers and sisters of Chicago. Julius Hoffman falls in a hail of machine gun bullets. Foran and Schultz, punk-ass corporation consuls, crippled forever trying to play cop. That's for SDS and everybody else, you dickless creeps. Blam, blam. Las Vegas disintegrates. Howard Hughes and Frank Sinatra and the rest of those crooks disabled forever. Ronald Reagan stabbed through his black little heart with an ice pick. That's for Huey and Eldridge. And Huey and Eldridge, you little prick. Max Rafferty, Alioto, Cahill, the whole Berkeley police force, John DeBonis, the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, Santa Rita, the TPF. That's for Bobby Hutton. That's for James Rector, Charles Bursey, Richard Kretsch, Stu Albert, David Hilliard, and all the people of Berkeley and Oakland, as in People's Park. High power blown up by a hand grenade. That's for J. George Mason Murray, you little punk. Bland, the Hall of Justice, the Presidio Stockade, the whole base. That's for La Sierra de la Raza. That's for the Presidio 27, Los Angeles and Sacramento, Century Plaza, the LAPD, singing Leonard Deadweather, Bunchy Carter, John Huggins, I Can't Stand It, Bland, 100 Center Street, Whitehall Induction Center, the RCA building, Columbia University, the whole fucking shithouse. That's for the Panther 21. That's for Jane Elbert, John Huey, Sam Melville, up against the wall, motherfucker, blam, blam. Fort Wayne, blam, Recorders Court, the GM building, blam, 1300 Bobian, the fucking 13th Precinct, Brunner Station, got the Wayne County Jail, carry out Gribb's head on a pike, free all the brothers and sisters locked up in prison, blam, Colombo, Stringfellow, Capigian, the whole fucking lot of them, that's for John Sinclair and all jailed dopesters, blam, the state police post in Inkster, that's for you, Darnell Summers, the whole state of North Carolina for Robert Williams, South Carolina's and Strom Thurmond and all those assholes. Key Biscayne, Sam Clemente, John N. Mitchell slaughtered on the White House grounds. Richard Helms, J. Edgar Hoover, and their whole staffs with knives in their yellow bellies. Blam, blam. Langley, Virginia, home of the CIA. That's for Fidel and Che. Ripped this whole rotten motherfucker apart. Doug Harvey hung with his dick sewn in his mouth. The Oakland County Sheriff's Department slaughtered in massa. Law books shredded and burned, stocks and bonds destroyed forever. The whole fucking system is a mistrial. We want justice, justice, justice. And I want to end this by talking about culture again, because it's really important, and lifestyle. Frantz Fanon said that revolutionary culture comes out of struggle. And it's manifested, of course, in the music, and in the art, and in the poetry. And when people start struggling, then the art and all that stuff, man, becomes people's art. And it's like Emory Douglas, the Minister of Culture for the Black Panther Party. He's involved in struggle, and his art is directly relatable to all the oppressed people. We'd be showing black people with guns and little black babies asking their mama for a hand grenade. Stuff like that is very, very important, man. And unless people start understanding that, and all artists and writers and musicians have to stand with the people's cause, or else they're just bourgeois artists, bourgeois decadents. You know. So the people who are involved in the arts, be studying the people's struggle. Be looking around at the people's struggle, and start struggling with the people. And your art will take on a new revolutionary meaning, and it'll be relevant to the oppressed people of the world. And it won't be no Andy Warhol, bourgeois decadence. You dig? So again, let's just get into the question and answer. I'd like to call a sister down here, because she certainly should be here. And we'll try to answer some questions about the party and any other questions you might have. And again, like last night, after we talked at this place, we went over to this cat's house, drank a few beers and all that. And he has some righteous revolutionary criticism of us. And we welcome it, because this is how we engage in ideological struggle with the people. So we're looking forward to be able to talk with you and answer your questions and shit. So I guess we just start.
Yeah, thank you. An advantage to suddenly escalate the situation in Denmark, for example. I mean, I don't know whether you're using bombs in the United States, but surely here in Denmark it would be absolutely a sensation if the bomb would be used. Do you think it would be a good thing to blow all the bombs on the
Well, I don't. That's for sure. That's not for anyone from America to say how you should deal with your condition. But again, you should make up your mind that you want your liberation, and you want the liberation of the people by any means necessary. And when you start heightening the contradiction, when you make the objective analysis of what's going on in Denmark and what's going on the rest around the world, very shortly, you're going to be put in a position where you're going to realize the political power comes out of the barrel of a gun, or it comes out of a hand grenade, or it comes out of dynamite. Yeah? So that's for the people in Denmark to deal with. And I certainly couldn't say it would be a good idea to start blowing some shit up.
Well, what I wanted to know was, when you started in the United States, it became a gradual thing. Would it work also if it suddenly escalated, I mean, with some radical action?
Well, I think any action would be far out. I don't know, man, if it's a word or not.
Regardless of what action, what conservative action it would,
at the same time, if that has to go on, though, there has to be concrete organizing, concrete answering the needs of the people in the community.
Well, obviously,
some sort of adventure.
Obviously, the people in Denmark don't know their own power yet, or don't know their own oppression, or don't know the oppression of the other people on the planet, because they're not trying to do anything in this country to try to correct the situation. They're not loving everybody, where they're even trying to deal with problems in their own communities. The way you do things, the way you start organizing people and educating people to heighten the contradiction so that people can see exactly what is going on in their country. You have to heighten the level. You have to go step by step and educate the people. If you try to initiate an armed struggle right now in Denmark, you would probably immediately be put down, just like if we tried to initiate at this very moment, today, an armed struggle in America, we would immediately be put down. I think we're very close to an armed struggle in America right now. Media is trying to close this all down so that people even in America don't even know what's going on. But as the brother was saying, there's been close to 400 bombings in New York City in the past month. America is about ready to blow up. And Denmark ain't even started dealing with concrete programs in their community. The way we started dealing with White Panther Party is that you show the people that what you want to do is serve the needs of the people. What you want to do is to create concrete programs. And when the people find out that they're not going to be allowed to do that, then they're going to get angry. And then it'll go to a higher level and start getting angry and angry and angry. But you don't just go immediately into an armed struggle. You have to educate, you have to organize. And I ain't seen none of that going on here. I see a lot of people studying, and I ain't putting that down. None of us are putting that down. That's good to be studying, but you got to start putting theory into practice.
Right. I think in your original Denmark program, you said you wanted the three drums like what did the Black Panther Party
say? It relates to acid at all. But the brothers in the Black Panther Party come off the street, So they relate to me, like Elder Cleaver says, I know alcoholic, he says I drink a wine, but my base is marijuana, alcohol is just cancer. So they relate to those.
They have a rule in their party saying that none of their party members should be holding, should be carrying marijuana on their person, because they know they're subject to any time to be stopped on the street and searched. And that's our lives are there. And we're having to do sort of the same thing now, because we have literally thousands, or probably tens of thousands of our brothers and sisters, which is the same as your brothers and sisters, in America, are in jail right this very minute, thousands, literally thousands, for possession of that harmless herb, marijuana. So they recognize, and we recognize too, that they're using this, they're using marijuana as a tool, a political tool, to put our people in prison. They're committing cultural genocide against our people because they use any means necessary to get our people in jail. So we have to definitely have some kind of rule like that, or try to educate people and show people not to be caught.
So we have to start where we are. Denmark, Sweden, France, everywhere, the young people are potentially the most revolutionary force on the planet, you see. And just like in those films, you saw People's Park and the San Francisco State Strike. The young people are bad, you know, they're not intimidated. They want to fight with kids, they want to fight the power structure. And so we came on trying to tell them, well, we can't smoke any more marijuana, we can't listen to no more rock and roll, we can't fuck anymore and all that. That's what their parents tell them, you know. So they won't hear that shit. And anyway, we relate to them. But we also have to try to educate them that you don't off pigs by throwing no bricks at them. You don't off pigs by carrying no picket sign. You're off pigs by organizing a political base, and you organize that political base and the needs to pick up guns to deal with the problems in your community. But cancer relates to us, you know, the Black Panther Party relates to us. And we're going to relate to us more and more as we get criticized more and as we refine our program. I didn't say anything about the concrete community action programs that we instigated in the community, and I should probably do that. First of all, wherever there is a White Panther chapter and a Black Panther chapter in the same city, we form working coalitions with them. Being we come from the mother country, we have access to media and certain technology that people in the colony do not have access to. So first thing we do is we support Black Panther Party Breakfast with Children program. We support it by having benefits, holding rallies, raising money for them. That's one of the biggest things the white mother country radical can do, is support existing programs in black community. We also support Black Panther Party free health clinics. But also in our own communities, we've instigated free health clinics. We've instigated drug clinics where people who get strung out behind speed and amphetamines, smack, skag, and heroin and shit. We instigate a program where we can deal with them. We print big posters trying to educate the people to the fact that speed and smack divide the community, keep the community fucked up. You can't be fighting the pigs when you're all laying over drooling on yourself and shit. And this is a really big problem in America. It's hard drug because people really get strung out behind that shit. And it's really interesting to notice that every summer, when the shit really starts getting heavy, you walk down the community and you'd be stepping on reds and pills all over the place. I'm literally stepping on them on the street, man. The community is just flooded with that shit. And pretty soon people start ripping off other people and going into their house in our national headquarters. We've had tape recorders, guns, typewriters, mimeograph machines, all sorts of shit ripped off from us. And when this first started getting very difficult and very acute problem, we came on out of some Stalinist thing, man, saying we find any dealers, man, we're going to break their goddamn legs, we're going to run them out of town, shit like that. But then the people criticized them. They came back and said, well, you're going to do just what the pigs are doing. You're doing just what the cops are doing. You sound just like a pig. We don't want to relate to that shit. So we had to go back with the Central Committee, we sat down, and we said, well, how do we deal with this? And we figured that we educate the people. We make films behind it. We make big posters. We have rallies. We talk about it continually. So we go from the people to the people. We take the people's ideas, condense those ideas, and give them back to the people, and the people will act on it. But the problem is still very acute, and we have to find a way to deal with it, because it's a very serious problem in the community, and it's a very serious problem in the black community, probably even more so than in the white community. But again, you have to understand that white people, especially young white people in the United States, are so alienated from pig culture and pig nation that if Nixon got on TV and said it was bad to cut off your hand, the kid would cut off their hand just because that pig said it, you know? So even when the pig tries to tell them that skag is bad or heroin is bad, the kids don't want to relate to that shit because Nixon's been saying marijuana turns you into a sex deviant and all this and that. And the kids find out that ain't true, you know? So what we're trying to do is educate the people to skag and to other things like that. Also, we've instigated what we call an LSD fund,
which is a legal self-defense. It's a community action bail fund where we contact rock and roll, everyone here, and we contact poets, we contact artists, and we try to throw big festivals and rallies where people come and pay $1 or $2, that would probably be 4 kroner or something, you know, to come in and hear music and see films and stuff. And this money goes into a community bail fund that when people get busted for dope or for armed robbery or for whatever it is, they call up the LSD fund and we bail them out of jail and we try to get an attorney for them and things like that. And we had some very high struggle go down behind this program because a lot of the politicals, the SBS and shit, you know, they wanted to get the leaders out of jail, get the leaders out of jail. We had, at one time we had $3,000 in the bank, you know, for the LSD fund. And his cat called up and he got busted for car theft, you know, for stealing a car. And he wanted to get out and we said, well, right on, we'll come get you out. So we had to call the other people on the committee, on the LSD committee, and some of them were members of SDS, and they were freaked out. Oh, we can't get no criminals out. We gotta get the movement on and all that shit. But we just said, fuck that, man. We went and got the cat out of jail, and that cat, it turned out, was our biggest propaganda organ, man. He ran it. He'd get up in the parks on Sunday when we had free concerts in the parks, and he'd run it about how righteous the LSD fund is, and it worked. And the program we used to get in every chapter. We asked every chapter to do this. And again, we organized political education classes. And again, white youth are so alienated from school, from sitting in grab-ass classrooms like this, fucker. It's almost a sacrilege to play music in this thing, man. I don't know. But we gotta make use of whatever technology we can get our hands on, so we stay right on to that. But kids are so alienated from books and discipline and organization and stuff, so you go out and say, hey man, come to the PE class, they say, you must be crazy, man. I dropped out of school to get away from that shit. I ain't coming to no PE class. But what we do is utilize the highest and the most technology we can get our hands on. We show films, we play records, we have rock and roll band come, and they play, and they read Mao Zedong, we read Che Guevara, we read Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Elvis Cleaver. And at the same time, you have to understand that the rock and roll band gets a political education. So pretty soon they start to be writing songs about Mao Zedong. They start talking about him when they get on the stage and shit. In fact, there's a group back in Michigan, there's a famous song by John Lee Hooker called I'm Bad Like Jesse James. And Jesse James, I don't know if you're familiar with American history, Jesse James was a famous outlaw, stole from the rich, killed the poor, that whole thing. But they changed the words around and say, I'm bad like Eldridge Cleaver. And then they go on and run some shit like Eldridge Cleaver, you know, and try to put out a political ideology and a political direction through their music. And again, that's a revolutionary culture that goes on through struggle. But those are some of the programs that we instigate in our community, and we're constantly looking for new programs and new ways to serve the people. We're just about ready now to start a free lunch program for freaks, you know, because people be out panhandling all day trying to get enough bread to find a place to crash at night and shit. So we're going to try to make some soup every day to be able to feed the people and stuff. Are there any more questions? Danish.
I would like to know how you are currently organized. Do you believe in democratic centralism or
what? Good democratic centralism, yeah. We take a model of Black Panther Party. Yeah.
more questions?
Motherfucker knows, and he's known forever and ever, you know, what he's doing.
He knows.
Pigs know, you see. It's just like when the pig got killed in San Francisco, a bomb went off and a pig got killed, and all the white left, man, they started freaking out, you know, because all this rhetoric started getting real about picking up guns and offing the pig and all that shit. You know, the pig really got killed, he's really dead, and he had 4 kids and all that shit, you know. So the Reddit really started getting real, and it started coming home, and a lot of these white radicals, they'd be saying, well, I don't know if I want to take part in a revolution now. It was all nice when we could shout slogans and carry the signs, but now it's real, you know. But after James Rector got killed by those fascist pigs in Berkeley, every cop in America knows what he's doing. He knows. There's no excuse anymore. If they don't endorse genocide, if they don't endorse oppression, if they don't endorse imperialism, if they don't endorse exploitation, then they should just take off their badge and get a steady job, as the Beatles say. Quit the police department, you know? That's all they gotta do. That old rhetoric of, well, it might be a nice cop or something, that's all gone now, man, because there ain't no nice cops no more. But they damn well know what they're doing. 28 Black Panthers have been murdered. There's over 100 in prison, political prisoners. And this has been put out through the media, and the cops sit home and read that shit, and they gotta analyze it. They gotta sit back and think about really what's going on and what they're doing and what role they're playing. And I don't believe that there's any cop that hasn't done that. I refuse to believe it. Well, I'm certainly not going to tell you to off the Prime Minister. I might, if I leave, after I get to Germany or something, I might write a letter. But I ain't going to do it as long as I'm here.
may I? It seems to me that the first duty of a good revolutionary should be to make good propaganda. And I would like to put it as seriously to you as I can, that your speech tonight has, in my opinion, been a terrible example of ignorance of what is going on in the Danish people. I would suggest that you stay for, say, 5 years in Denmark and then come out with a statement at that time. It seems to me, I know this will sound, well, terribly reactionary to you, of course, and bourgeois, but it seems to me that you are precisely as conformist as we are. Your language, your clothes, the way you talk, your behavior is conformist.
Shit.
You happen to be in among people tonight who tend to agree with you, and I do in many respects on the political issues. But I tell you, very seriously, it's bad propaganda, and you won't get very far beyond the room like this. I mean, the way you talk about our little rooms, our little boxes, with our candles, with our books, etc., etc., to use your own language, it's none of your damn goddamn business what we're doing. Yes.
Well, our people are dying. Our people are in jail.
I know.
And we're trying to deal with these problems. We're trying to come over here and tell you people how we're dealing with it in America.
I respect that. Yes.
To help us. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't say nothing about the people over here. I mean, I
love
the way
you
these
did.
People look.
Oh, yes, you did.
I love the way these people look. I look at these people here, and I see my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I look at you, and I see your brother.
Oh, splendid. But the thing is...
Just a second. There's a basic correction that has to be made. You said that the duty of a revolutionary is to make propaganda, but that is not correct.
Uh-huh.
The duty of a revolutionary is to make revolution.
Right on.
Yes, but the thing
so
is,
there's
you
a difference
know,
between revolution
yes.
and propaganda.
Yes, but you see, you tend to believe that everybody, everybody agrees with you on the basic principle that, for example, in Denmark we need a revolution. Everybody doesn't. There's a difference. No, everybody does, and I don't, for example. There's a difference, in my opinion, between revolution and reformation, believe it or not. And,
I believe.
Yes. But you don't seem to be able to, I mean, understand that. What we need in Denmark is not a gun in our hand and running out into the streets and fighting.
Okay, you then don't do it. I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
If you don't do it.
Well, you tried to tell us a moment ago.
Well,
you see, your duty
to do it.
Yes.
There's a lot more to a revolution than just picking up the gun. I mean, it seems to me that you're trying to...
Definitely, but it doesn't seem to come out of your speeches, does it?
Problem. What we're trying to do is to get people to start dealing in concrete matters with the problems in their own communities. That's how we deal in America.
Oh, yes.
We don't go running around telling everybody to pick up a gun and start our struggle right now. We know that may not even be necessary. I'm not a violent person, you know? I am a violent person, and I don't want to fight. I don't want to pick up a gun, and I don't want to kill anybody. But
yes.
If I'm forced to that position, I want to be prepared. I mean, I've seen too many of my brothers and sisters killed. I've seen thousands of my brothers and sisters being put in jail. And I want to be prepared that if they come to my house, I'm going to have a gun there. I mean, my husband, Pan Fermander, Minister of Defense, is one of the most gentle, beautiful people on the planet I've ever seen. And they've accused him of trying of blowing up the CIA office and have forced him underground so that he is separated from me and from the rest of his. He can't come home.
Yes.
And you're going to, I mean, I can't just sit here and
no, I know.
Yeah.
I don't want in any way to attack that. I mean, I can't attack feelings. And this is, your situation is serious, but that is your situation.
Let me just add one thing. We recognize that we have shortcomings in our presentation, you know, but we don't relate to protocol and all that shit, you know. But and we're constantly trying to better our presentation and all of that, but it ain't there, man, and I can't make it there if it ain't there. I'm constantly trying to be able to speak better and the rest of that stuff. But personally, I much rather talk with the people than try to address the people, you know, because...
Oh, I quite agree.
Fine.
I just think it's again a question about consciousness, not about the way you speak.
some way it's a fantastic country. It's probably the most democratic and the best way of doing it. The way of the world.
But man, you don't even have to look outside Denmark. At this